Actually, from the point of view of practice, no one person can enjoy this name unless he is full of love within, full of love toward the Lord, full of affection. This affection has to be deep. The deeper the affection, the more taste there is in the calling. Some people call from their tongue, some from their throat, some from their belly. We cannot be like this. We are those who are saved and loved by the Lord. Our calling should be from a loving heart. Then our calling can attain to the standard. So there is very particular in our calling on His name. I hope I can emphasize this burden to you. Don't think that calling on the name of the Lord is just like a simple, common practice. You are mistaken if you think this way. I tell you, calling on the name of the Lord is the highest practice of a Christian, the deepest practice. No other practice is greater than this, more important than this. You mentioned prayer. Shouldn't prayer be the highest? From one angle, I agree with you, but I tell you, today I need to tell you, actually prayer is not the highest. Calling on the name of the Lord is the highest. Second, I don't believe that you can pray without calling on the name of the Lord. What kind of prayer is that? Isaiah 12 tells us that we need to draw water from the wells of salvation. We need to cry out and shout. We need to sing. We need to thank and praise. But Isaiah added this word, call. All our Christians' activities, all our thanking and praising, all our calling, all our prayer, must include calling. In our praise, we call. In our prayer, we call. In our thanking, we call. Nothing that we do, we don't have the Lord's name. We need to add the Lord's name to whatever we do. Lord, I thank you. Lord Jesus, I thank you. Lord Jesus, you hear my prayer. Even our prayer reading of the word must be full of the calling on the Lord's name. You ask me to pray read. That must include calling on the name of the Lord. If I don't call, how can I pray read? Lord, your name is as ointment poured for. Lord, your name. Lord, your name. I am pray reading, but actually I'm calling. That calling causes my prayer reading to be weighty, to be full of content. Causes our prayer reading to be full of affection. It's not something dry. Someone pray reads, I also pray read. That's not right. We need to recover our direct relationship with the Lord by calling on the name of the Lord should not be lacking. During the break, one sister that I've known since the 80s, more than 30 over years old, that sister mentioned, I need to check with you. Our calling has become something superficial. Last year we mentioned that whenever we wake up in the morning, we should call for 2 or 3 minutes. So our sister started to practice that. But brothers and sisters, the 2 or 3 minute calling is different from calling for 2 or 3 minutes. You call for 2 or 3 minutes, I call for 2 or 3 minutes, but there's a big difference. So my burden is not just to call you, I'll ask you to call on the name of the Lord. But I want to bring your calling to a next level, to a higher level. I say again, the strength and the depth and the concentration, the intensity needs to increase. This requires a new practice. When a sister fellowship her about her exercise, there was an echo within me. Actually, 2 or 3 minutes is not enough. If you really call, if you really touch the Lord and His presence, oh, that 2 or 3 minutes, you cannot stop. You cannot stop. You need to continue calling. You don't need to be too loud. You don't need to shout. Maybe you need to shout. But that's not the point. But the point is that whether you touch the reality, if you touch Him, you will not stop. Because the inner enjoyment is too good. So full of supply. You just live in that. And at that time, when you call, the calling is not just a formality or a form. It becomes your living. It becomes a part of your living, just like breathing. My word here is not just to some new believers. I'm speaking to those who have been saved for a long time, even those who are in the Lord's recovery for a long time. So I'm speaking also to myself. We need to change. We need to improve. The last stanza of the hymn says, on, our Lord is sweet afar. I feel that we have stopped. There are some elderly or among us, co-workers among us, that may have stopped. It doesn't matter whether you're an elder, you may not have entered into this. Many elders may have left this kind of simplicity. Many years before, they were students. They had that simplicity, but now it's different. So this is degradation. Don't feel that I'm speaking too strongly. It's possible for us to degrade, to have degradation in this kind of practice. The Lord spoke to the church in Philadelphia. You have a little power, but you need to keep my word. Do not deny my name. I tell you, our Christian and church life have left these two things, his name and his word. That's why I'm so burdened for the matter of calling on the name of the Lord and pray reading the word. This is not just something outward. We need a recovery. I hope, brothers and sisters, you would have a renewed touch of the intrinsic reality of calling on the name of the Lord. That is to enjoy this all-inclusive Christ. I'm afraid we are too clear in our mind concerning the all-inclusive Christ. In the last training session, we gave out a handout on what Christ is to his believers in this person. 50 points. But I'm here to challenge you. Every day, take out that handout, and every day, take up a point. An exercise over that point. Not just call, Lord Jesus, Lord Jesus. Bring that point into your calling. For example, this point of Christ is our wisdom. Just bring this into your calling. You enjoy Christ as your wisdom. You need to taste that the Lord is beautiful. Taste and see that He is good. This requires not 2 or 3 minutes. It requires more time for you to call. So that's why we need to have a time of morning revival. Many morning revival times are not a revival. They are actually not a revival, but a defeat. After you do it for half a day, you still don't touch the Lord. Even if you touch, it's still something superficial or outward. What is needed is that our relationship with the Lord every day is deeper than yesterday. After 10, 20 years, we seem to be the same. We have increased in our service, but your subjective experience of the Lord has not increased. It's the same 10, 20 years ago. I have such a heavy burden within. Because this matter, the simpler it is, the harder to speak. Everyone says, I know it already. My living before the Lord. My private living before the Lord cannot be interrupted. This is something private. It's not outward. It's hidden from the eyes. It's very personal. The deep experience of the Lord is very much related to calling on the name of the Lord. In my personal experience, my transactions with the Lord, the most wonderful time is when I deeply call on His name. There's not much words, not too much prayer. I have a kind of a groaning prayer, a groaning calling. It's not a matter of the volume, but the depth of our calling. Oh, this needs to be strengthened. Especially we older ones, we need to strengthen this. I do not believe if we do not have improvement in this matter, we can grow in life. We can grow in our knowledge, but your life is another matter. This is related to our touching the Lord Himself. When you have this practice, when you call just once, you will touch Him. You cannot stop. Every day is new. Every day you are living. Paul, in his last speaking on calling on the name of the Lord, in 2 Timothy 2:22, he mentioned, flee youthful lusts and pursue righteousness, faith, love, and peace with those who call on the Lord out of a pure heart. The main point here is that you need to be pure. It's not just the spirit. But you need to have a pure heart. What kind of heart? A pure heart. A clean heart. A heart that only wants the Lord. Is single, pure, and clean. Is single. You don't want anything else. You only want the Lord. And it's not just 2 or 3 minutes. How can you just spend 2 or 3 minutes with your lover? This is a training, not a conference. To receive this training, you need to have an attitude of being trained. You need to enter into these matters. You need to consider these matters. You need to enter into these outlines. You need to enter in. And then, at the same time, you need to have a new practice. Don't be content with what you currently have. The beginning of degradation is self-contentment. That is Laodicea. Self-contentment as the beginning of degradation. If you are this way personally, it will be that way for the whole church. I hope that the Lord will give us a new revival. This is not a Pentecostal revival, a kind of miraculous, funny revival. This is a real revival by life. In the Psalms, it mentions, Jehovah, revive us, and we will call upon your name. To be revived is to touch the resurrection life, which is Christ Himself. If you have this, you have it. If not, you don't. How about it? I've used this time, but this is the burden. When we go through the outline, it doesn't require too much time. But this is still very helpful. To see that in the Old Testament and the New Testament, there is no change in the practice of calling on the name of the Lord. This is from the third generation, Enosh, calling on the name of the Lord began.
But these verses on the outlines, you can find all these verses on the outlines. Let's look at Roman numeral 1. I'll read Roman numeral 1. Okay, let's read all together. Now, Roman numeral 1. Calling on the name of the Lord is not a new practice that began with the New Testament. Rather, it began with Enosh. 赛特的儿子起名，Seth's son is Enosh. At that time, man began calling on the name of the Lord. Seth gave the name of his son Enosh. That means fragile, weak. First, that means fragile, weak. I am getting old. I am aged. Yesterday, I spent a whole day fellowshipping with the brothers, starting from 8 in the morning till 5, and then we had dinner. And around 8 o'clock, when I returned to my hotel, I still have to fellowship. with the brothers. Then when I was done, I felt back pain. I would never thought that I would become like this, like an aged old man like this. And the brothers all smiled at me. Humans are weak, fragile. Must die, they will die. Mortal man, because men realize that their life was vanity. So naturally, they started calling on the name of Jehovah, the eternal Savior. In this universe, what is eternal? Only God Himself is eternal. So let us call on the name of Jehovah in our weakness, in our sickness, in our vanity. We call on this eternal one. That's the third generation. Though they are vanity, but by calling on the name of the Lord, they become strong, and because they feel the strength within them. Isn't that true? When we call on the name of the Lord, even if it takes 20 or 30 minutes, we need to do it. After you call, at the time when you call and you feel the riches, the strength that are coming upon you, I can survive, I can live. Though I am weak, but the eternal one is my eternal portion. Though I'm a mortal man, but the one within me is resurrection that overcomes death. To those who call on His name, He is rich. What a promise! What a promise! Do not seek any other means. This is the best way. Those who call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Job was earlier than Abraham. You think Abraham is early? But actually Job was earlier than Abraham. Job, by the practice of calling on the name of the Lord, he said, I am the one who called on the name of the Lord, but was mocked by others. He said again, the man who call on the name of the God rejoice in God. God is your joy. God is your joy. And within this joy, you have hope. You have hope. Roman numeral 3, Abraham called on the name of Jehovah. And we all know this, the father of faith, Abraham. The special characteristic of Abraham is calling on the name. In Genesis 21, Abraham called on the name of Jehovah, the eternal God, El Olam. In Hebrews, El Olam means Jehovah, the Eternal One. Point B, by calling on the name of Jehovah, the Eternal Mighty One, Abraham experienced God as the ever-living. There must come with an experience. To experience God as the ever-living, secret, mysterious one who is the eternal life. In other words, Abraham experienced God as his life. The eternal life becomes his portion by his calling. Abraham moving from place to place. He always pitched a tent and set up an altar. This is his special feature of Abraham. And the other thing is he always calls on the name of Jehovah. In Genesis 12 and Genesis 13, setting an altar, calling on the name. This is how our fathers live their life. Wherever we go, we call on this name. This is our special characteristic. We are the worshiping ones. We are the consecrated ones. We also experience and enjoy Him as our life. In Roman numeral 4, calling on the name of Jehovah was practiced by Moses and the children of Israel. In Deuteronomy, when we call, there's no other. There's no other country like this. Today, United States, as a Christian country, people today even try to remove this name from this country. There's a famous president, President Roosevelt. During World War II, FDR, he was the president of the United States. When you go to Washington, D.C., you can go to the Roosevelt Memorial. If you go to visit the World War II Memorial, I haven't been there yet. I plan to go. On the stone, on the rock, in 1941, after the Japanese attack on Pearl Harbor, so the U.S. declared war against Japan. So Roosevelt immediately delivered a speech at U.S. Congress, a very famous speech that was to declare war against Japan. In that declaration, there was a very famous quote. That was December 7th, the day of the attack on Pearl Harbor. He said something very...
Pearl Harbor attack was a day of infamy. Hmm.
We shall overcome this enemy. When he was finished his speech, at the time, the last word he said, what was it? May God help us. But that remark was not found on the remarks on the rock at World War II Memorial. Today, the United States is pursuing politically correctness. They pursue political correctness. And you cannot use the name of God. In the Pledge of Allegiance to the United States, when we take oath, we always declare they want to remove that phrase, under God. Only just one nation. No, but in the original, there was under God, one nation, indivisible. Today, men are trying to remove the name of God from the human race. To remove this name, automatically the person is also removed. But here is a country. There is a country, Israel. Under Moses' leading, Moses declared, which country is so close to God, Jehovah, like our God? But there's a condition to be close to Jehovah, and that condition was when we call upon the name of Jehovah, we are close to Him. In world wars, the United States was all the churches, they were calling on the name of the Lord. Mostly they were believers during the war times. They call on the name of the Lord. And the Lord answered their prayers. Not only the victories and United States has become the superpower in the world until this day. Even until this day, God is still using America for His move on earth. I am worried about removing the name of God in the United States. Brothers and sisters, we need to exalt this name, declare this name here in the United States so that God is still with us. Roman numeral 5. Samson called upon the name of Jehovah. That was the last time when Samson was about to do something great. He called upon the name of Jehovah to remember him, to give him strength, so that he could so that after his eyes were digged out by the Philistines, he could revenge. Number 6. Samuel was among those who called on the name of Jehovah in Psalm 99. There was Moses and Aaron in. There was Samuel too. They called on the name of Jehovah, and Jehovah promised them, do you want to be part of those who called on the name of Jehovah? Therefore, Samuel called on the name of Jehovah, and Jehovah released the thunder and rain on earth. Roman number 7, David is a famous person in calling on the name of the Lord. Look at all these verses. In Samuel, in Chronicles, especially in Psalms, you must read these verses. These are all the experience verses. I call on Jehovah, and he listened to my calling. You shall praise the priest declare his name among the people. David built an altar like his forefathers, presented the burnt offerings and peace offering. Then he called on the name of Jehovah, and Jehovah's fire came down. In Psalms, God, I call upon you. I pray that you listen to my prayer. I called on the one who's worthy of praises. Jehovah, when I call you, I shall not be ashamed. I will call on the name of Jehovah, and I shall be saved. To those who call upon your name, you have full abundant grace. Even in the days of my suffering, I shall call upon your name. You shall call, thank Jehovah and praise his name. Jehovah, save my life. Rescue me. I shall present to you thanksgiving, and I will call upon the name of Jehovah. In my suffering, I call upon the name of Jehovah, and he shall put me at rest. Those who call on the name of Jehovah, those who call on Jehovah shall meet Jehovah. This is the Old Testament. David called on Jehovah, and he was saved and delivered from the enemies. David raised the cup of salvation and called on the name of Jehovah. David, in his suffering, calling on the name of Jehovah, and Jehovah promised him to set him on a place of comfort. And then he testified, those who call on the name with sincerity, Jehovah shall be close to him. And Roman numeral 8, the psalmist Asaph called upon the name of Jehovah. The psalmist. The psalmist, we will call upon your name. We will call upon your name, and it will be restored and revived. In the Old Testament, the biggest and the deepest thing was when they were distant from God, when God departed from them. That was the biggest thing, brothers and sisters. There's nothing bigger sin than this one. There's no bigger sin than this one. That is, in our daily living, we do not have the presence of the Lord. And how can we be preserved in the presence of the Lord? In the presence of the Lord. In the close relationship with the Lord. And that is calling on the name all day long. To call upon his name will keep you within his presence, and you shall be saved. Many sins the world and we will be delivered from our sins and the world. In Psalms 80:18, Asaph prayed, revive us, we will call upon your name. Whoever call upon Christ, who is now at the right hand of God, will be restored and revived. This exalted one, he received the promises from God the Father. The Spirit now is poured down, and those who call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Brothers and sisters, when you return home, call upon the name at a certain time of the day. Do not just call when you come to the meeting. Let's call on the Lord 10 times. Do not do it this way. I hope we will not do this practice in the future. Let us Sometimes I feel frustrated. Ah, here we go again. Let's stand up, call on the name of the Lord 10 times. I can tell 8 out of the 10 are not calling with a genuine heart. And you cannot touch the reality. It is not that it isn't good, but the depth and the strength and the intensity is not strong enough. You must practice this in your daily living to touch the Spirit, either 10 times or less than 10 times. You will be in this experience. In Psalm 50, Asaph spoke concerning those who call upon the Lord according to his covenant. There's a promise. The covenant is a covenant, a book of covenant. God has covenanted himself to us through the redeeming Christ. Now we need to call on the name of the Lord by this covenant so that he can become our portion. This is a promise. This is a covenant. You must call in your by faith. When I call, this covenant becomes my portion. Full of faith. He says, Jehovah says, when you call me, call upon my name in your suffering, I shall save you. He said, Heman called to Jehovah in his affliction. When you call, your hands are lifted. It's not a formality. Roman numeral 10. Elijah called on Jehovah and was answered with fire out of heaven. You'll know that story. 11. Read. Isaiah called on the name of Jehovah. This is the best one. We have a song. On that day, you shall call upon his name and declare his name among his people, that his name has been exalted by calling. That's how we draw water from the wells of salvation. In Isaiah 56, we know that Isaiah charged the seekers of God to call upon his name.
If we want to redeem the time, we need to call on his name. Don't just simply read. Whenever you call on the name of the Lord, you redeem the time. In eternity, in the New Jerusalem, your calling will be remembered. Roman numeral 12, Jeremiah prayed, I called upon your name, O Jehovah, from the lowest pit. You have heard my voice. Do not hide your ear at my breathing and my cry. Jeremiah called from the lowest pit. My point is, the deeper our calling, the better. From the deepest part, call on him. It's not how loud your voice is, but how deep your calling is. My burden now is the depth of our calling. Jeremiah says that his calling is his breathing. We have this hymn, I'm breathing out my sorrow. Breathing. All thy fullness in. This is a famous hymn, hymn 255 by A.B. Simpson. How do we breathe? It's not merely by praying, but by calling on this name. Point A, to call on the Lord means to cry to Him and to experience spiritual breathing. Point B, by calling on the Lord, name of the Lord, all the sinful, evil, and unclean things will be breathed out, and all the positive things, the riches of the Lord, will be breathed into us. Don't analyze what you are breathing out or breathing in. You just need to deeply call, deeply breathe. So it's very particular how we call on the name of the Lord. Sometimes I just call, oh Lord, not even mentioning Jesus. Just by calling, oh Lord, there is an inhaling and exhaling. There is a kind of cleansing that goes on. A kind of washing. When Jeremiah called, he breathed out all the negative things. We can breathe out our pressure. We can be saved from our lowest pit. When we call Lord Jesus, we will be in the third heavens. Many times we feel we are under pressure within. But just call. Point C, Jeremiah did...
13.
Roman numeral 13. The Gentiles knew that the prophets of Israel had the habit of calling on the name of God. Roman numeral 14. Gentile raised up by God from the north also called upon his name. Roman numeral 15. The early believers practiced calling on the name of the Lord everywhere. Point A says, to the unbelievers, especially the persecutors, calling on the name of the Lord became a popular sign of Christ's believers. Point B, when Stephen suffered persecution, he practiced this, and his practice surely impressed Saul, one of his persecutors. Point C, later the unbelieving Saul persecuted the callers, taking their calling as a sign. Immediately after Saul was caught by the Lord Ananias, who brought Saul into the fellowship of the body of Christ, charged him to be baptized, calling on the name of the Lord to show others that he too had become such a caller. In point D, by his word to Timothy in 2 Timothy 2:22, I won't mention this. Point E, calling on the name of the Lord is a major practice in God's New Testament economy that enables us to enjoy the process trying God for our full salvation. Roman numeral 16, it is God's commandment and desire that His people call on Him. Calling is the joyful way to drink from the fountain of God's salvation, and the enjoyable way to delight oneself in God, that is to enjoy Him, Hence, God's people must call upon him daily. I'm thinking of putting this point into a hymn.